And we're going to talk about some very human things here. It's the title of this message is Jesus Changes Everything. When he's on the scene, he changes everything. You'll be mad and all upset, and then he'll just touch you on the shoulder. He'll tap you on the heart, and he'll begin to speak to you through his spirit and remind you of scripture. And before you know it, you're calming down. And the scripture tells you, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So we're all going to get mad. We're going to have our frustrations. And yet the Lord, he puts up with us. He forgives us. We're all forgiven people. We're here and we're people searching, looking for God's blessing, God's help, God's forgiveness. And I want to share out of Mark chapter 5, two people who were in desperate need for different reasons. And they are coming to Jesus in the same time frame. And we just want to look at the insights that we gain from this passage. It's easy to read this stuff, and you need to really just pause when you read these passages. It's been a while since I brought a message on this, and a few years. But I just kept coming back to it. Lord just wouldn't let me off the hook on this particular one. It's like, no, you're not going to get off on this one. I want you to come back. So let me read. It's rather lengthy, so let me just get the reading. Read the passage, then we'll get into the details of this thing and do a little crunching. And exegetical means we're going to look verse by verse and see what happened and why it happened and what was going on here and what we learned from it. When Jesus had again crossed to the other side, he just cast all these demons out of the demon-possessed man, and he came back down. They went into the pigs and all that experience, and then he came across the water there by boat, and a large crowd gathered around while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please, please come and put your hands on her so that she would be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Friends, it just doesn't get any more desperate than this. It can be something wrong with you, but when it's your child, this is my kid, this is my little daughter, this is a man pleading. And we'll get back to this point in a moment. He's pleading with Jesus. He falls down on his knees. By the way, a man that's the synagogue ruler, he's not used to falling on his knees to any man. So this is how desperate he was. And it's not likely he would have fallen on his knees to Jesus had there been any other scenario here. But it was his daughter. And hey, when it's your child, you're willing to do anything to make that child okay. So that sets the scene. And then it says a large crowd. This little girl's dying. She's dying right now. We've got to have you right now. Come touch her. But there's a large crowd following, and they're pressing around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. This is powerful stuff. So we have a man pleading and we have a woman desperate for healing. And she touches his cloak. But now things become, as far as the first person is concerned, the man with the daughter, becomes quite chaotic. Because she's healed in her body, but at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Well, we're going to look at all this. This is a fantastic happening, except if you were Jairus, would you be caring about this and who touched him? I wouldn't. It doesn't say what Jairus was doing, but he wasn't standing there saying, oh, this is great. He's frantic. And yet there's a need in front of Jesus. It's already happened, and he stops this whole thing. And it's like it would appear to Jairus, he's not even concerned about my little girl. You know the truth about it? He wasn't in the way Jairus wanted him concerned. Jesus wasn't panicked because he knew what was going to happen and he knew what he was going to do about it. But Jairus didn't know that. And that's where a lot of us find ourselves most of the time. Jesus knows what he's doing, but we don't know what he's doing. And we flip out and we panic. And we hit all those buttons and we go to panic city. And so here's, it gets worse. So while Jesus is still speaking, some men from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came and they said, your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? And ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. You can read the rest of this. I'll kind of explain it and then hit the highlights of it in several places. But let's talk about this. First, let's talk about a man pleading. He had a life issue. He had a life and death issue, and it boiled down to this. He had a problem that he couldn't fix, the doctors couldn't fix, and it was an immediate problem. His daughter is dying. And he needs Jesus now. And he says, please come and put your hands on her, so she'll be healed. So Jesus starts out to heal her. Now, friends, listen. I've been through this. You've been through this. When we are desperate and we're pleading with God, please help me, God. Please help me, God. Please help me, God. Please touch me. Please heal me. Please deliver whatever it is. Here's my child in trouble, in jail. They're on drugs. They're, or whatever it is. Or they're very sick. You know, and you're, it's just touching your heart and it's killing you. We've all been there. In one way or another, we've been a pleading people. And guess what happens? He delays. And it hurts us and we get mad at God. We get frustrated. I need you, God. I needed you a week ago and you didn't show up. And many people have a problem with God about this. And it's hard for Christians to admit that we get put out with the Lord at times and we get an anger issue. We get frustrated. We have no idea how Jairus was behaving, but do we need much of one? I would have been trying to push a way through that crowd. This is my daughter. Get out of the way. Make room. I want him at my house and I need him there yesterday. And then this woman comes along and here's a man pleading, God help me. And Jesus stops for this other person. So we have a man pleading and his problem is immediate and yet God is just not there on the scene. He thinks. And so now in the midst of Jairus pleading with the Lord, come and touch my daughter and make her well, there's a woman that walks up behind Jesus and she had been bleeding and she's slowly dying. Not as fast as the daughter, but she's slowly dying. And yet she comes up behind him and she touches his cloak. And she's healed. She felt the healing power. She knew she was healed. Jesus felt the healing power go out of himself. And what does he do? He stops. He delays. At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from him, and he turned in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And his disciples are looking at him like, is there something wrong with you? I mean, they didn't say it that way, but they're human beings. It's like, you see the people crowding against you, and you can ask, who touched me? Here's a man trying to get you to go to his house, and you just seem like you don't care. You see, that's what happens to us. There's times in our lives it seems like God is so far away that he's not hearing our prayers, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't have compassion. It seems that way. It feels that way. And it had to feel that way to Jairus, and it does to you and me. He has another plan, but we don't know that. And that's where it challenges our faith. That's where our Christianity has to be real. To know that if God is not showing up on the scene this very moment, then He has a bigger plan. But grabbing hold of that and believing it in faith is a hard thing to do. So this woman touches Him. Now, she suffered for 12 years. And it says she spent everything, and she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Maybe this appeals to me because I went through this. You know, I went through this very thing with many doctors trying to fix this little tumor that I had, and they messed it up and big time. And then she was just getting worse instead of better, and she's desperate, and so she's desperate for healing. She comes up behind Him and she touches Him. Now there's more here than you realize, and that's what I want us to grasp. This woman is bleeding and she has an issue and she's unclean. What we don't get, but we need to be reminded of, is according to the law, the Old Testament law, which they were still under. Grace is just now on the scene with Jesus, hasn't been established. According to the law, this woman wasn't supposed to be in public. And according to the law, she was not supposed to be touching a rabbi. She would make him unclean. She's violating the law. And she's willing to put herself out here and be stoned to death. She's doing something that violates all the Old Testament law about an issue of blood and separating and isolating yourself from society. And this woman breaks all the rules. She's that desperate. That's why she got healed. Sometimes, friends, you need to be willing to break the religious rules, not the Christian rules, but your religious rules, and get down with it to Christianity where it's real. And she broke the religious rules so she could be healed of her problem. And sometimes things happen in our lives not because God's punishing us, not because He wants us hurting, not because He wants us bleeding, but to break us away, to get us away from a bunch of tradition, old teachings that, you know, that keeps us under the law. She had to come out from the law, and she's experiencing grace and doesn't even know it at the moment. And Jesus' responsibility as a rabbi, he was noted as a rabbi, teacher, you know, all that. What was his responsibility? One, it was to rebuke her and then to isolate himself and go through all the purification rites so that he's clean again, because technically by the law she made him unclean. And what happens here is because of her faith and her willingness to be stoned to death, to get healed. Can you imagine? We sit here and we don't have to face this yet. We may one day. I hope to God we don't, but we may. Persecution for being Christians. But she walks out and she's in the middle of this crowd, and she's unclean, and she doesn't care anymore because she's desperate to touch Jesus. Friends, that's what brings a lot of us to the cross. We have to get so desperate we don't care anymore what anybody says or does. We need salvation. That's what gets you to heaven. That's what gets you healed. You have to get to the place where I've had it. I'm desperate. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm going to Jesus, and I'm going to touch Him, and He's going to touch me, and I'm going to be healed of this thing today, right now. Right now. Right now. This is big stuff. Did Jesus rebuke her? Did He? You see, and I'm sure if anybody saw this woman, knew this woman, there's people there that knew her, you know, and they saw her touch Him, you can imagine, they're going, Oh God, she touched Him. She's not supposed to be here. Now He's unclean. And He says, "Who touched me?" Those people that knew that woman, can you imagine what they're thinking? He's about to put her, woo. And instead, "Who touched my clothes?" And He keeps asking until she comes. Why did she hesitate? She knew she broke the law. And she knew she made Him unclean. And you've got to dig into this and realize it's because normally, who touched me? I did. I got healed. But she knew what she'd done. She was healed. But look what she violated. And he just kept asking until she came, it says, and knowing the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. What'd she tell him? I've been to all these doctors. They're killing me. I'm bleeding for 12 years. I'm dying. And I don't care what they do to me anymore. I just touched your cloak and I got healed. And I'm guilty of violating the whole law. And what did he say? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Before we move on, this is not a long message. It doesn't have to be, because the content is so marvelous. Daughter, do you hear it? He called her daughter. Women in that time were at the bottom of the pole. They didn't have any rights. They didn't have any office, any position. Do you see what he just did? He called her daughter. You know why? He just made her one of his family. He just elevated her. She breaks the law, and yet he covers her with grace. And he calls her daughter, and he says, you're one of the family. I've just made you one of my own. Your status and the status of every woman standing here has been just brought up, and we're all equal in Jesus Christ. It happened, and people are standing there going, you know, what did he tell her? Anybody, man, woman, or child, can come to me and receive salvation and receive healing and receive grace and receive mercy anytime. There's a need, there's a hurt, there's a pain, there's a sorrow. Just come to me. It happened right there. You're now daughter, one of the family, one of my own. I don't care that you broke the law. I've come and fulfilled it. There's no law to break anymore. I'm the new law. The law of grace, if you want to call it that. You know, by grace we are saved through faith. This not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Isn't that powerful and beautiful? And you see it established here. And so here's a woman, the lowest in society, and then she's even lower still because she has a problem. She's issuing blood, and that was a no-no. Outside the camp, isolate yourself. And what does she do? She runs in there in the middle of the crowd, and she touches his cloak. And because she did it, he says, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Friends, I want to tell you something today. I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know what it is in your life that makes you hesitate to just cast it all. Forget, you know, you're afraid somebody's going to criticize you. You're afraid somebody's not going to like you. You're afraid somebody's going to say something ugly to you because you don't just, you know, it's keeping you from just putting it all at the cross, giving your whole heart, your whole body, your whole life, everything about you to Jesus Christ. We hesitate because there's always naysayers out there. There's always people to kind of shut us down and say, don't get too radical. Don't get too carried away with this God thing. Friend, there's a time to say, I don't give a rip what you think, what you say, or what you do. I'm coming to Jesus, and I want him to be my Savior, and I want him to be the Lord of my life, and I want him to touch my heart. I want him to touch my soul and my mind. I want him to take away my awful past, and I want him to make me a new creation in Christ Jesus right here today. It doesn't stop there. I didn't read all the rest of this, but we'll get into it now, because he's just elevated this woman. She'd spent all of her money. Her life was wrecked. And then she meets Jesus. And he turns around, and in front of everybody there, he gives her status. And he gives every woman their status. And everybody sees that if you got a problem, just touch him. Friend, what's your problem today? What's your worry? What's your concern? What'd you bring in here? Isn't it about time that you stopped arguing with yourself, debating with whatever, and just touch him and let him touch you? Isn't it time you let him set you free from whatever it is that's been plaguing your life all these years? Jesus has come to give you life and give it in abundance, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now look at this. There's one fellow here that's not happy, and I wouldn't be either. This is great. He's just done all this for this woman. He stopped. He took the time right here in public to do all this. But there's a man named Jairus, and he's... What would you be doing? So we see a man pleading and a woman desperate for healing, and we see a Savior who changes everything. So while this is going on, they come and say, "Don't bother him anymore. Your little girl's dead." And they're blah, 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 you know, like people do. And ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." You won't have the rest of this up here because I just wanted to talk through it a minute. Because there's points here we wanted to hit. Do you see what Jesus did? He ignored what they said, and it's time you and I started ignoring what people say and start listening to what God says. They're saying, "She's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the rabbi, Jesus. She's gone." And he said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus had a plan all along. He knew the little girl was going to die. As far as humans are concerned, in our eyes, she was dead. He wanted this to happen. Don't you see? God allows things in our lives, and we get so upset. We're so distraught because we can't see the end product. We don't see the miracle that God wants to perform through our lives. I begged and pleaded with God through 5 procedures. Take this tumor out of my stomach. Find somebody who can heal me. And I was just draining away. I was getting so tired and so weary. This went on for months. Until the army docs finally did their thing. They got a hold of me and 8.5-hour surgery. I didn't understand why God, why? I just cut all pieces and put back together. But since then, I've been seeing in my life that God wanted me as a living testimony that if He can go through it and I can heal Him and put Him back up there, I can do it for you. Hallelujah. That's what it's about. Sometimes He calls on us to go through things and suffer and hurt, and we're so distraught, and I was. And only to find out in the end, He wanted us to be willing to pay a price so somebody else could take heart, have courage, and be healed. We're His instruments. We're here to be a blessing to people. And I pray that everything I've gone through will be a blessing to you. Oh, thank you. So don't be afraid, just believe. And so He wouldn't let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, and there was a commotion, and people are crying and bawling and wailing and going on doing all their stuff, right? And Jesus went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Well, she was dead in human terms, but only asleep to Him. And He put them out. Friends, get this. Learn from Scripture. He put them out. Who did He put out? He put out the people that's laughing at Him, that's carrying on there. They laughed at Him and He put them out. There's some people in your life it might be time to just put out. You don't need to hear their trash anymore. Why are you hanging around with them? Well, they're my old friend, some friend. If they were a real friend, they'd respect your Christianity. And I really mean this. You know, quit tolerating a bunch of junk in your life. And so He put them out. Why? Because if you're going to see faith work itself out, if you're going to see God work a miracle, you don't need a bunch of negative naysayers standing there shutting it down. And so He put all those people out that were laughing at Him and blah, 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 she's dead, will you? And he just took her by the hand and he speaks some words to her that meant, little girl, I said you get up. And she got up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And they were completely astonished. Yeah, I bet. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about it and told them to give her something to eat. Very practical thing. Feed the girl. She's hungry. I had to go on a liquid diet for 3 weeks. I was sure wanting him to show up and say, feed him. Give him something to eat, not to drink. Don't drink for 3 weeks. It just anyway, do you see what all this means? No matter what's happening in your life, God has a plan. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And he'll show up when he needs to show up. Don't get mad at him when he doesn't show up when you think he should. And if God delays in answering your prayer, it's because he has a bigger miracle than you ever could imagine. And it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. And so that, you know, to wrap this message up and to sum it up, it's like this. Here came a woman. Here came a guy and he was pleading. And here's a woman desperate. And they all got what they needed. It's just that it came in different ways, especially for Jairus. But he got to see a miracle. And he got to see his little 12-year-old girl raised back to life. And there is the ministry. That's what God loves to do. Why? Because Jesus, our Savior, changes things. And everybody won that day. But they won it in the will of God. In God's timing, in God's way. And you go home with this and you keep it in mind that Jesus Christ changes things. Just let him do it and he'll change it. Scripture says if God is for us, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, with Jesus, freely give us all things? Now you take that home with you, and you take it through the week. God is for me. Nobody can be against me. And Jesus Christ changes things. It will happen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here this day.